This year marked the 50th anniversary of a Charlie Brown's Christmas, which is very good, but my favorite has always been How the Grinch Stole Christmas. So I have read that every year and probably watched the cartoon every year since I was in fourth grade, which wasn't that long ago. So I've read it in English, I've read it in Latin. Quo modo nomine Grinchus Christi Natalem abrogovavit. So, but we won't use the Latin this evening. Rather, we will look at the English. So Dr. Seuss tells the story about a Grinch who hated Christmas, and he hated all the Whos in Whosville who just loved to have Christmas. Now, nobody knows exactly just why. Maybe it's because his shoes were too tight or his head wasn't screwed on just right. But the most likely reason of all, it's that his heart was two sizes too small. So the Grinch wanted to steal Christmas. But first we have to ask, what would make his heart shrink? Perhaps it was because, as Dr. Seuss writes, it was all the noise, noise, noise. The noise from the hoo-hooters, the hoosophones and toys. Or maybe it was because of the feast, feast, feast of hoo pudding and roast beast. Or maybe it was because of the singing, singing, singing with all the Christmas bells a-ringing. Hard to say. But I think there's a deeper reason. I think the Grinch wanted to know something more about Christmas. He wanted to find love. For the Grinch, he didn't want just a day that was a day of partying and feasting, a day of noise-making and getting. He didn't want a day that would become the economic report the next day in the Hoo Street Journal. No, he wanted something really more. The problem was he didn't search for it. Instead, he became cynical, selfish. He isolated himself, going up Mount Crumpet. And because of that, his heart shrunk, 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 and his thinking stink, stank, stunk. Simple as that. So he planned to steal Christmas. So, when all the Whos were asleep, the Grinch decided to slay down to Whoville. And he took the trees and the wreath. He took the Who pudding and the feast. He packed it all up, and he was going to take it up on Mount Crumpet, where he was going to dump it. But before he did, he paused, and as the sun about broke and the Whos awoke, he paused to listen. And Dr. Seuss writes, "That is a noise," the Grinch grinned, "that I must hear." So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear, and he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, the sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook, and he saw a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're here because Christmas truly means a little bit more. But if we want to know what that more is, we have to go to the core. And the core is the word Christmas. First, it means Christ. We're here, and what we celebrate is all because of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus, second person of the Holy Trinity, consubstantial with the Father, true God from all time, is our Redeemer and our Savior. Yes, He is the Word of God, that Word through whom the Heavenly Father spoke, saying, "Let there be light," and created all things. As we profess in our creed, all things were created through Him. He is the one who put design and order in this creation. He's the wisdom of God. Yes, and what God created was good, and we're made in His image and likeness, and we were considered very good. But we also know sin came into this world, and that sin from Adam and Eve continued to grow. God still loved, though. God never stopped loving us. He spoke through His word to Abraham and made a covenant. Then He spoke to Moses through His word and gave the Ten Commandments. But sin continued to grow and grow. How could one possibly bridge this chasm, this gap caused by sin, separating mankind from the love of God? So God spoke through the prophets, and He said, "I will send a Savior, a Redeemer, a Messiah. I will send the Christ." And as Isaiah said, He will be Wonderful Counselor, God Hero, Prince of Peace, Father Forever. And so in God's plan, Jesus, true God, entered this world becoming true man through Mary, who had conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. For only true God could do something to heal this chasm caused by sin. But it would also take an act of man because we caused it. So Christ, true God, became also true man and dwelt among us. As St. John writes in his prologue, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with grace and truth." Well, my brothers and sisters, the love doesn't stop there, because we just have to pause for a moment and just think of our little nativity scene and ask ourselves, well, if God was going to redeem us, why did He choose this way? Why did He come? Why did true God become true man and become like a baby? After all, He could have come like a general with an army of angels. But then we would have believed out of fear, not love. He could have come just as the great miracle worker, doing whatever we wanted Him to do. But then we would just be getting, not giving. And that's not love. Or maybe He could have come as the popular preacher, but we all know popularity fades very quickly. Instead, He came as a baby, a little baby, because who doesn't love a baby? In our church, we have many babies right now, and who doesn't want to hold a baby, to love a little, defenseless, needy baby? Yes, little Jesus came as a baby. But we can't stop there, because in love, as that baby, He grew, and He took on our humanity and all things but sin. He lived life as we do, facing joys and sorrows, pleasures and pains, successes and failures. He understood the whole gamut of life, and yet He showed how God's love makes life worth living. Yes, Jesus showed us that life is sacred from conception till natural death. He was born in the context of a marriage between Mary and Joseph. He was born to a family with a mom and a dad, albeit Joseph a foster father. But He sanctifies marriage between man and woman, family life with mother, father, children. Yes, our Lord shows us how to live. If we want to know what it is to live in God's image and likeness, if we want to know what it is to really live in love, we look at Jesus, true God, who became true man. But it doesn't stop there either. Because every time we look at that little nativity scene, and the reason why in this parish we've always put that here, is because we raise our eyes up and we look at Jesus on the cross. And there we see Jesus, the little baby who opened His arms wide, now opening His arms wide on that cross to forgive our sins. Only He could take the burden of our sins onto Himself. Only He could offer a sacrifice that transcends time, that touches us right here and now, to offer us forgiveness. By His resurrection, He offers us the hope of everlasting life. Here is the gift of God's great love to us, and this is the love that we celebrate this Christmas. God's great gift of love. That's the more of what we embrace this evening. But then, going back to the core, we have Christ, but there's also the Mass. We can't have Christmas, really, without the Mass. How can we celebrate Christmas without the Mass? This is what Christ gave to us. Christ is in our presence. Every time we gather here for Holy Mass, we're celebrating the life of Christ, beginning with Christmas. We hear His Word, His truth, His Word that still guides us, still leads us in love to this very day. We also offer His sacrifice. The priest offers a sacrifice that participates in the everlasting, ever-living sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. And so through that sacrifice, bread and wine are transubstantiated into His body, blood, soul, and divinity. How wonderful it is to know that if we receive Holy Communion in a state of grace, and we welcome Jesus into our hearts, we know He's there. He's there to share our lives. So just think, when we hear the bells at the consecration, we can just imagine the bells in heaven ringing. We can imagine all the angels proclaiming glory to God in the highest. We can imagine all the saints standing around our altar rejoicing with us. Yes, the Mass is essential to Christmas, but this is our Christmas. So, this is the more, but then we have to go back to our little story. And what happens after all of that? Well, and what happened then? Well, in Whoville they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light. And he brought back the toys and the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. My brothers and sisters, all I can do is pray that for you, as well as for myself, this Christmas our heart grows, our heart expands to fully embrace the love of Jesus Christ, the love that He wants to share with us. Let us too remember in that broader love, to remember those poor Christians throughout the world who are facing persecution. I think of how it's so sad that we've forgotten the poor Christians, especially in Syria and Iraq, who've been driven from their homes, homes that go back centuries, leaving villages that go back to the time of the apostles, have left their churches that have been desecrated by these Islamic terrorists and are now in refugee camps. But I've seen pictures, I've read reports, and they didn't have their Christmas stolen by ISIS. No. They still have their nativity scene, their pageants. They sing their carols, and most importantly, they have the Mass. They know Jesus is with them. The Grinches of this world can't steal Christmas unless we let them. But Christmas has to be Christ, has to be Mass, has to be in our heart. And so, my brothers and sisters, this Christmas, let us open our hearts, for it is Jesus who is the love, who is to be loved. He is the life that is to be lived, and He is the truth to be followed. May God bless you.